Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's just forearm tightness is what I'm saying. I'm really not too concerned about it. Like I said, I think it was more just precautionary. Yeah, I would say I like didn't feel it in the like active pitching. It was more so just like, you know, at other times walking around the mound or so, and I'd just stretch it out.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is Justin Steele, and he's the best young pitcher on the Cubs, and he's been arguably as good as any pitcher this year. And he had to leave the game after three innings, nine outs with forearm tightness, and he's telling you about it there.
But
and
nothing to see here?
Yeah, I don't know that I buy that.
I don't either.
Yeah.
I want to buy that.
It'd be great.
I want to believe that, but I don't know that it's overreacting to worry a little bit this morning about the future of Justin Steele.
Yeah.
Because of what he means to this rotation. Frankly, what he means to this season for the Cubs.
And you know, he's had injury before. I mean, what it means to his career if that happens again. I hope there's nothing wrong with him. He's too important. It would be like a worst-case scenario, David.
It would be, because it would come at the end of a very long month.
Mm-hmm.
May was not kind to the Cubs. May was the month where everything came crashing back to earth after a very encouraging April. May, the Cubs did not play up to their potential. They had injuries to Cody Bellinger, who remains out. He can still not run unfettered, the word that Jed Hoyer used. And now Justin Steele, with the uncertainty around his forearm after really a great start against the Rays, nine up, nine down, and now we wait for him to get imaging today. You don't want to overreact, but boy, the Cubs have to make some decisions, and Jed Hoyer has been open about that. The next few weeks, the next month, if you will determine what direction they're headed, and that direction will be dictated by whether or not Justin Steele is going to be available to keep his spot in the rotation.
312-644-6767. We'll start with Mark. Mark is in South Bend. Hey, Mark.
Hey, how you doing today, Mike and David? Always a pleasure to chime in with you.
Thanks, Mark.
David, a quick reminder. In 2 weeks, Father's Day weekend, North Justin's having their Town Hall Festival. And if you're in the area, friends or family, be a good place to pick them, Nelson Air or Corner Cob. But anyway, getting to the White Sox. I'm in agreement. It's the 60 games here this weekend, and the only scenario is a rebuild if they go that route. And I would be willing to put out on the wire Vaughn, Robert, Eloy,
wow.
Tim Anderson, and Lucas Giolito, and see what you get. Just put the fish out there and see if there's any takers. And as far as that last thing about Ohtani, has the best highest on-base percentage anyone who faced the White Sox, including Babe Ruth. I saw Eddie Murray crush the ball 11 years against the White Sox and Travis Hafner for five. And it's hard to believe that Ohtani's even above them.
Well, with the home
Thanks,
runs.
Mark.
Yeah.
Travis Hafner, that's a good name. That's a Sox killer.
Trout is the guy that is on base more than anyone since Babe Ruth. And, I mean, the four top guys, it was like – it was like a who's who of baseball history. You know what I mean? Like, it's ridiculous.
He's on base so much against the White Sox. You see him more often on base against the White Sox than you do in Subway commercials.
Let's try John. John's listening on the Odyssey app. Hi, John.
Hey, guys. Always enjoy you. Two quick points. Hap and the right fielder. When last time Hap hit a home run? And you always talk coming up in baseball, you never hold a bat on your shoulder with two strikes. And my last point is, look at the Cubs. How in the world he don't squeeze with Mattingly in the inning he was in? Second and third, you squeeze. You're at home. You're going to extra innings. Try to get the run in and tie the game. I don't understand Ross. Ross is causing a lot of losses, in my opinion. Why don't the Cubs squeeze with less than two outs? You're down one run. Tie the game first. I'll hang up here. What you got to
That's
say.
A good question, John. I have to say I wondered the same thing, but I have to also admit sometimes I wonder that every time there's a runner on third with less than two outs. I wonder if trying to execute the safety squeeze or a bunt in that situation, you have as much of a chance to execute and get the run across than you would hitting a sacrifice fly or contact play. I do wonder about that. And what if there are any metrics or analytics that really look at that possibility? There's got to be.
There must be metrics. There must be a reason. The idea that you don't want to give out an out, even to score a run and force extra innings. I don't know. I mean, there's got to be a reason because they would consider every possibility.
It's something that's interesting that John brought up because it did cross my mind at the time.
Right.
I thought, here you got a guy at the plate. You wonder, he's not hitting for average. He's not really making contact a lot. Wouldn't this be a spot, if he can't handle the bat, to try to sneak a run in? I don't know. Maybe that doesn't make any sense. Maybe it's easy to say now that they didn't, you know, that they stranded the runner. The other point about Ian Happ, I think, is the one Dustin made earlier. When you're protecting and it's two strikes and you're in a clutch situation like that, are you going to err on the side of being aggressive? Even though he said it was and it looked like that was not a strike.
It was never a strike. That's my point. Okay. And Dustin, you're right. It was close. But it was outside the zone the entire time. That's what was weird. Usually when an umpire is making a call, if the ball looks like it's coming in or if it looks like it just leaked out, but that was never a strike. From the minute the ball was released, it was outside. I was surprised that he called him out. And he did it like, you know, he did his whole little lawnmower startup. I mean, it was like, really?
The lawnmower start. You thought it was a little too theatrical?
I did. Yeah. I was like, you were waiting to call him out instead of waiting to call that.
He wanted the moment.
Correctly. Yes.
He wanted the moment and the attention more than he wanted to be right.
That's what it looked like to me. I'm just being mean, maybe, but I also thought, and Dustin, you know, I know you just threw your headphones on. Are you telling me that you thought that was a strike at any point? I never thought it was. I never thought it was a strike.
I thought it was right on the line, too close to call. The other thing, and I always wonder this.
Go look at it.
I'm actually looking at it as we speak.
It was a ball.
I didn't say it wasn't
the whole
a ball.
Way. Oh, okay. So now you're just
let me get to what I think the problem was.
Okay.
Is that he drops his stuff like it's a walk. Like, I know that's ball four. Here I go. And I swear the umpires hate that. Oh, I hope you're watching on Twitch.
You can't say that.
That was
listen, I just did. What do you mean I can't say that?
Okay, you can say all you want, but it's wrong. Because what happened with Ian Happ, he reacted the same way. I know you weren't watching the White Sox because you refused to. But Shohei Ohtani was walked. And you know what? He started down. He was halfway down the line at first base practically. Before the ball crossed the plate, he thought it was a ball. And they didn't call him out.
Well, because he's Shohei Ohtani.
Well, okay.
Well, Ian Happ's not Shohei Ohtani.
Ian Happ's an all-star outfielder. He's an all-star outfielder. He deserves respect. And if you're saying that, come on.
Makes a good cup
Everybody
of coffee.
Everybody does that. Everybody leaves a little early.
I'm just telling you, certain umps don't like it. And when it's close.
Let me just get this straight. The guy called him out on a ball because he thought he was walked.
And then he pulled the lawnmower.
Yeah, he did. Maybe. He did give it that one. And I mean, I was just kind of like, why don't you go stuff yourself? I was pretty peeved.
I don't like umpires that like to make it about them. But I do think that that's a good point. He did look like he was enjoying that way too much. Yeah. Way too much.
Yeah. All right. I mean, I don't want to be overly cruel to the guy, but that sounds like
you're being overly cruel. I mean, you know.
Tony is. Yeah, all I'm saying is that he wanted to. Yeah, Tony's in Streetpoint. Hey, Tony.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Just a quick question. You guys would have felt more comfortable with Nick?
If Nick, what? Over there. I'm sorry, we lost you, Tony. Can you repeat it?
Oh,
there you go.
Can you hear me, guys?
Yeah, yep. We got you now.
Yeah, did you guys would have felt a lot more comfortable if Nick Madrigal batting in the ninth over Miles Rigatoni?
Master Boney, not Rigatoni. It's a lefty righty situation, perhaps.
I think I would have taken a guy named Rigor Mortis over Master Boney.
Yeah. Well, I have been triggered by Master Boney's presence, continued presence in the Cubs lineup for a while now. So I think that Nick Madrigal to me would have, I don't think I would have had the same reaction or the same sense of dread. Master Boney does nothing for me in the Cub lineup. I know he's a fast guy, but you can't steal first. He's hitting 149. I know batting average isn't everything, but he's hitting 149. I know analytics have changed the way that we view things, but he's hitting 149. All right? So, Nick Madrigal at the plate. You could name a lot of guys that you would feel better than Master Boney at the plate in that situation.
Shouldn't Nick Madrigal be better? Shouldn't he have been better? I'm just saying, I don't know.
Well, yes, the answer would be yes.
So what was
he was
it?
Drafted,
was it injury?
He was drafted
fifth fourth, overall pick,
fourth
right?
overall, wasn't
was
he?
Fourth?
What, he was drafted in the top five. We'll check the details later. The point is well taken. What did the White Sox see in him? What did we all believe in him that hasn't happened? What did we think was going to happen? He was going to become Dustin Pedroia?
Yeah, I don't know. I think
honestly, comp?
I think that we thought that he was just going to be running around the bases. We thought he was going to be like a pest type player that was always on base. We thought he had like this ability to walk and hit seeing eye singles. I wonder if injury ruined him. I just remember when he first came up, I was really surprised he wasn't a better base runner. Because you see a guy like that, and he's not, you know, he's never going to overpower the ball. He's not going to hit home runs. But his skill was just getting on base.
The same thing is true about him now that has been true since the Sox brought him up. If you're going to be that guy, Nicky Two Strikes, Mr. Contact Hitter, hit for average, get on base, you've got to do everything else exceptionally well.
Yeah.
You've got to be a plus defender. Yeah. You've got to be the smartest base runner. You can't run into mistakes.
Yeah.
You can't make errors that lead to bigger problems.
But he would run into injuries. But he just got hurt.
He was injury prone, and then he wasn't necessarily the guy who led the league in intangibles. And that's a problem, because if you're going to be that guy, you have to remove the margin for error. You got to reduce it. And he increased it.
Was it all just this horrible injury that he still hasn't come back from? Is there any hope for him?
I think there's hope for a guy like that, because he still, you could envision him finding a spot. I don't know if it's in Chicago. I don't know if it's with the Cubs, but he does have the hit factor. He does have that talent to make contact.
Yes.
You wonder if somebody...
But he struck out a lot more. He never really struck out when he was on the South Side. He started striking out when he was coming back from that injury.
I wonder about that. But
it's a guy from Cleveland. Kwan, you know, he was like that.
His roommate?
Yes.
Stephen Kwan?
Yeah. Kwan was like that.
Yeah.
And had a brilliant start to
the
season.
They were friends and roommates at Oregon State.
Right.
Yeah. Well, if Nick Madrigal could become that kind of a player consistently, then I don't think he'd be spending much time in AAA.
But he does. There's no spot for him with the Cubs.
Really?
No.
I think that's the point we're talking about. Who would you rather have?
Horner.
Miles? Well, yeah. But
and Dansby Swanson. I'm just saying.
He's not going to be a starting second baseman or shortstop for the Cubs.
Could be for the White Sox.
You could have. Well, he could be a second baseman for the White Sox. That's what he was drafted to do.
Right.
They gave up on him because they wanted Craig Kimbrell.
Yeah.
I understood that at the time. You did too.
I did not. I never understood that. after I watched it unfold.
But on the day that they made the trade, you were like, well, that's Madrigal's expendable for a closer.
Yeah, I didn't understand it. I still don't understand it.
All right, but when you're saying there's no room for him on the Cubs, I would challenge that.
They traded him because he was a guy that wasn't going to help them that year, and they were going to win the World Series by getting a closer in, right?
Fair enough. But, okay, back to Madrigal on the Cubs. I would object to the notion that there's no room for him on that roster because you look at that roster and I see Edwin Rios on it and I see Miles Mastroboni up in a clutch situation. And I would think, you know what? It's not the craziest idea to wonder what Nick Madrigal might have done in this situation.
Psycho's in Westchester. Hey, Psycho.
David, I believe you're absolutely right about this Mastroboni. If Nick Madrigal was up there yesterday, they would have won the game. They would have swept Tampa Bay. This Mastroboni has no place, no business at all being in the major leagues. He's a minor leaguer. That's where he belongs. Madrigal would have put contact on the ball, possibly would have drove the ball up the middle for a hit. But when you got Ben on second and third, when the base is loaded, in the eighth and ninth inning, you don't score. Come on. But this Mastroboni, what does he do? He doesn't do nothing for the team. You're better off having a pitcher bat for this guy because he's an automatic out. I'll let you guys go. Love the show.
Thanks, Psycho.
Thanks, Psycho.
What? Who really likes him? I haven't heard anyone. Carter Hawkins, Jed Hoyer, David Ross.
He's batting second. Yeah. Or first. Yeah. That's also part of this problem.
Right.
Four or five at bats, and at least Nick Madrigal would have put the bat on the ball.
That's it. Make contact. If not,
Dansby Swanson in the eighth.
Yeah.
Striking out. Yeah, big moment.
But he has come through in big moments before in a way that, you know, Mastroboni has struggled. Right,
and there was no pinch. There was nothing else to do. David Ross, there was nobody left. They had used everybody. Rios had played. He had already pinch hit Mancini. There was nothing left for him to do.
Okay, but still, that's just accentuated the problem that you feel like this guy triggers certain Cub fans. Certain people, when he's at the plate in these key moments, it's like, why is he here?
And then David Ross, I was watching on Marquee. He like doubled down about like how good of an at bat that was.
Yeah, okay.
I'm like, really?
It's great.
He struck out.
He struck out swinging. Okay, he struck out swinging.
At least swinging. He swung.
At least he's got the bat off his shoulder.
Better than me
and Hap. Oh, I mean, I'm honestly going to rush in there if you keep up that. I mean, the guy walked. He just got called out. Let's not act like.
Are we going to get the 2-minute report from the Major League Baseball that the eighth and ninth inning report on the umpires that should have been a strike?
Home plate umpire Will Little overreacted.
Will that make us feel better?
I trust Ian Happ's eye more than that lawnmower guy. Okay,
Will Little,
the lawnmower man.
Now he's the lawnmower man. Home plate umpire Will Little,
desperate to call the guy out.
Okay. It was a bit theatrical. It was a bit over the top.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Colin is listening on the Odyssey app. Hey, Colin.
Hey, morning, boys. How are you?
Good.
Good. I'm originally a Chicago person, but down here in Florida for a long time, season ticket holder to the Panthers. And I've been very critical of the Hawks, but, you know, all is all and everything happens for a reason. And I want to thank the Blackhawks for beating Pittsburgh. And letting the Cats in the playoffs, and we're going to the Cup, boys.
Wow. How about that?
A Florida Panther fan weighing in.
How about that?
Thanks for the phone call, Colin, all the way down there in South Florida, which is enjoying a little sports renaissance this month.
That makes sense, though, to have a former Blackhawk fan living in Florida now
does.
Following the
Panthers.
The Panthers.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what?
He's right, though.
It's confusing to have a sports franchise named like another sports franchise. It's almost like the...
What do you mean? Carolina Panthers and Florida Panthers confuse you?
Versus like the Cardinals and the Cardinals. Who wants that?
How about the Giants and the Giants? Are you confused with New York and San Francisco? They're both Giants.
Yeah, I am.
How come the Florida Panthers and Carolina Panthers confuse you? Because they're in the South?
Because they're new franchises. And they one copied the other.
Because one's hockey and one's football.
And one copied the other. And that's dumb. I don't think Panther is that good a name to be repeated down there. And I mean, you could change it to a different type of Panther or whatever. But the Cardinal thing, the Cardinals from football were named so after the uniforms. They got old uniforms from the Maroons.
I love a good origin story.
Chicago, yep. University of Chicago.
Right.
And they want to know, what color is that? And the owner said, it's Cardinal Red. It was just worn out maroon. And that's cool. I like that name. I don't know what the hell St. Louis was doing. Is that after the bird? They have the bird.
I suppose.
And a lot of Chicago fans like to give them the bird.
They give them the bird.
That's right.
But his point about that game, the Hawks beat the Penguins.
Yes.
Final week of the season with nothing on the line and no reason for them to compete. And that game affected so many different franchises. Mm-hmm. Number one, it put the Hawks in a position to win the lottery.
Yes.
Even though you wouldn't think that at the time.
No, they should have lost.
It was
the
illogical
lottery.
That it did.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's exactly what happened.
Worked. Yeah.
It allowed the Panthers to get into the playoffs. It cost the Penguins people their jobs.
Yeah.
That was the one impactful regular season game that essentially meant nothing but meant everything.
And it allowed the goalie to keep his starting job, and then he went crazy in the playoffs, right?
I mean,
that was an unexpected outcome as well.
Totally.
And of course, Matthew Tkachuk is one of the great young hockey players who's scoring.
He's going to win the Conn Smythe. I think I heard it here on the show.
I believe that was your prediction.
Okay, that was.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes.
We'll find out. You're awful puffy-chested about it before the fact. We've got Biggs time next. We're going to bring in our buddy Brad Biggs, and we'll talk about some football. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Miles Rigatoni.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Brad Biggs. Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw. Biggs time.
The Biggs Report.
With Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us, as all guests do, on the Busey Bank Score Hotline, building business, growing wealth since 1868. Biggs A!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, yeah, you tell us. We know that you had a chance to watch some practice. Seems like the Justin Fields, DJ Moore show continuing pretty well. Seems like same people there, same people not there, same questions arising. Anything different, anything special, anything jump out to you?
Nothing really jumped out yesterday, although in talking to some of the coaches and then watching them, you know, you're seeing the young cornerbacks come on pretty quickly. I'm talking about the draft picks, Tyreek Stevenson with an interception yesterday, Terrell Smith, both catching some praise from a new defensive backs coach, John Hoke. Hoke also pretty upbeat and positive about Jalen Johnson, said he's been involved in meetings via Zoom, even though he hasn't been there, that he's been asking questions. So that's good to hear. In terms of Johnson, who, you know, maybe shows up sooner rather than later. Of course, remember, he wasn't present for this portion of the program a year ago. As far as the quarterback wide receiver thing, that's good. And it's something you'll hear in about, you know, every city that has an NFL team in America. If the quarterback and wide receiver can't play pitch and catch without a pass rush, without the DB being able to use hands on the wide receiver, you've got a major problem. But them just kind of getting a feel for one another, yeah, I think that's positive. And then, hey, you know, let's listen to what the coach said. He was asked if the Bears are interested in any free agent pass rushers, and Matt Eberflus said we're interested in a lot of free agents. So as I've told you guys for quite some time, I would believe that they bring in another edge rusher option here at some point. Eberflus says went on to say we're interested in a lot of guys at all positions right now. There's not superstars on the street, but they could probably get an edge rusher that will help them, even if that player doesn't keep opposing offensive coordinators up on Saturday nights before the game.
Brad, Courtney Cronin, who covers the Bears, said that Jalen Johnson reported on the four-letter network this morning that he will be at OTAs next week, and he's been dealing with some things off the field. The Bears said what they have said. Is how big of an issue do you think this is? Is this just if he shows up, it's one of those things that ends up being something that is insignificant in retrospect?
Well, like I said, Jalen Johnson didn't volunteer for the voluntary portion of the offseason program a year ago, and it wasn't, and that was when you had a brand new GM and a brand new head coach and a brand new defensive coordinator and a new system and all that. And it was a non-issue then. So I don't think it's an issue now. I really don't, you know, Hoke said yesterday that he might be arriving soon. So I think that's only a positive for them. You know, keep in mind when Jalen Johnson did show up last year, you know, he's running not with the first team at first, which that's not a surprise either. You got a new staff there. They're going to put the guys that have been present and putting in the time out there originally. Of course, we all knew way before the season would get going that he would be their top cornerback, and he's probably their best cornerback right now. So I think this is you know, one of those storylines that has to be discussed and mentioned at this time of year. But this, you know, the guy did it last year, which is more newsworthy when you have a new regime and new coaching staff.
Yeah, you know, I think, Brad, that if he were to miss a mandatory thing, that would be a story. But at this point, it's more of the same, effectively, right? And even, you know,
he's not the only guy.
Exactly.
Let's talk about Nate Davis, the right guard, who they paid in free agency, and it's a little unclear where he's at. But and again, they only let reporters out there one day a week. So could Nate Davis be there? Could he be rolling into the parking lot right now? Sure, anything's possible. But that guy got a $30 million. Three-year contract from the Bears. And generally speaking, guys that get paid get on board right away.
But he's also a guy that doesn't have a past with the Bears. And maybe that's a negative, but I'd also think he's not been somebody who you question, right, in terms of his commitment level.
They just paid him, Dave.
Like $30 million, right? Doesn't the league, I mean, does the Players Association tell guys not to show up at different things? I know that the coaching staff wants them to.
But
yeah, exactly. It is.
Yeah.
Much as voluntary is actually mandatory, it's actually voluntary.
Right. And to me, the bigger issue. Remember, was it 2020? I'm trying to think back. Matt Nagy, they got the spring thing rolling, and almost no one, the only guy on defense that was there really was Roquan, because he was trying to get paid, and we know how that situation ended up working out for him. But basically all the defensive starters were MIA. Did that affect them? I don't know. Like, listen, will Jalen Johnson be a step behind when they get going in training camp? I don't think so. The only guys that are going to be a little bit behind in training camp are guys that might be dealing with some physical issues.
Kyler Gordon talked yesterday about how the comfort level with him playing outside was developing, and maybe he is more comfortable there, but he's willing to play the nickel because he's good at it. It's an opportunity. The team needs him to do that, and he's capable. But, Brad, I do wonder, at some point in time, I mean, is that going to be something that is worth keeping an eye on, his development at the nickel spot, and wondering if he's more natural given his skill set on the outside? Because is he playing there because they have to play him there because they don't have anybody else? And in doing so, are you affecting his development?
You need three cornerbacks that you feel are really good starters. Minimum of three. And so whether Gordon is inside or outside, you know, I think he's basically been playing inside here this offseason thus far. And because they believe he's a really good nickel option, and he played a lot of that for them a year ago. And I think probably moving him back and forth last year might have been one of the reasons why Matt Eberflus said that things were kind of moving fast for him. You know, to paraphrase, Eberflus actually it was Alan Williams, talked about the RPMs being, you know, always running high for Kyler Gordon last year as a rookie, which is not uncommon for first-year players in the league, right? I mean, it takes a while for the game to slow down. So in primarily putting him in one spot and keeping him there for most of the time, at least right now, I think you maybe get a chance to get hopefully some better play out of him. Inside, outside, I think you put them at one spot and you let them kind of lay down a foundation and grow a little bit. By taking Tyrique Stevenson in the second round, they're telling you they believe he can be a starter for them. And I think he's definitely more of an outside player. So this seems to make sense to me. And then they've got Terrell Smith, who again, John Hoke spoke pretty highly of yesterday. They need more corners. They need more quality depth at that position. And your nickel's probably going to be on the field, I mean, maybe close to 80% of the snaps. So whether he's inside or outside, I don't look at that as a real difference these days, especially if he can help them mix it up a little bit and be a little bit more varied. Because he's, you know, he's not bad as a blitzer from time to time.
Brad, I'd like to get back to the edge rusher thing for a second. It seems as if they have, you know, they've talked about making moves, but they haven't made any moves. And I'm just curious, from your perspective, would a move be? Could you imagine them trading a draft pick for a player at this point? That seems a little bit unlikely to me. They also have, you know, they have first dibs on anybody that might be cut, right? They had the worst record in the league, so they would have an advantage if they wanted to work the waiver wire. Last year we saw them bring on a lot of players, not veteran players. They brought a lot of guys that they had looked at or maybe liked that they wanted to get another look at, younger guys. Is that, you know, are they still kind of hunting for that kind of help as more of a guy that fits the profile of the younger player, as opposed to looking at a guy that you would sort of have a rental player with? How do you believe they view that?
Well, the younger player that kind of fits that model, that's going to be a guy that maybe has some some attributes that you look at the position, but no proven track record.
Right.
Like, young pass rushers aren't going to be placed on waivers.
No.
If a veteran pass rusher is cut, he's not going to be subject to waivers because he's going to be a veteran. He'll just become a free agent immediately. I wrote about possibilities about 3 weeks ago, guys, and there were about 10 of them, veterans with experience rushing the passer. I don't see a trade being an option to kind of answer the first part of your mm-hmm. question. I don't see them giving up a draft pick. There were two possibilities that I know teams have kind of poked around on a little bit, and one of them's been traded. Za'Darius Smith, about a week after that article, was traded from the Vikings to the Cleveland Browns. And then another option that a lot of people thought would be available this offseason, Carl Lawson restructured his contract with the Jets, so he'll be staying in place, it looks like, in New York. And he would have been a potential trade candidate. So now you're looking at guys on the street, Frank Clark, to go alphabetically, Frank Clark, Jadeveon Clowney, Carlos Dunlap, Leonard Floyd, Justin Houston, Melvin Ingram, Yannick Ngakoue, Robert Quinn. Ngakoue's maybe the youngest of that bunch. I think he's 28.
And worked with Flusie, right? Knows Flusie.
No, he did not. He showed up in Indianapolis, I believe, after Flusie left. Oh. And Ngakoue's kind of been this, will rush, has the ability to rush quarterback, will travel. He's been with five teams since 2019. And he gets at least 8 sacks every year, but he keeps bouncing around. He doesn't play the run particularly well. They would probably look at him as a designated pass rusher. But you ask yourself at this point, it's June 1, why is this guy on the street? Why is Leonard Floyd on the street? Obviously, they set their asking price above what anyone was willing to pay. And so it's kind of a waiting period. And the Bears need to get help here. Ryan Poles needs to get a player for that defense that can help him out a little bit. But I think he also wants to stay the course, right? And when you talk about stay the course, you keep that long range plan in mind. You know, he has been pretty transparent.
Yeah, but long range plan has got to include getting to the quarterback at some point. You got to get to the quarterback.
No question. But he told you earlier this offseason, hey, there's still going to be parts of our roster that aren't where we want them to be this season, that we can't get it all done. I think they need to go get help, but are you going to be the team that gives some lucrative deal to Ngakoue where you're on the hook for a lot of money, whereas
right.
the Colts didn't do it and the Raiders didn't do it, and he was briefly in Minnesota. So –
yeah,
I think it's a kind of a waiting game right now, and if you don't have that pass rusher show up until training camp starts, I don't think the guy's going to be behind. We're not talking about a complicated position to learn. Hey, what's my role in the defense?
Get ball, see ball, get ball, quarterback rather. All right, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks, Brad.
Have a great day, guys.
That is our man, Brad Biggs, the football man from the Chicago
I like that he put
Tribune.
The choices in alphabetical order.
Well,
so we
I
didn't
mean,
have to read
but,
into any sort of
my
order
point
of
is,
preference.
But my point is they do not want guys of a certain age, right? I mean, if you look, who's the veteran player on the team? Is it Cody Whitehair? They don't have a lot of age on this team.
They don't.
They're looking for a certain type of player, and he's right. You're not going to find
but
that guy.
You're not looking for a core piece necessarily. You're looking for somebody that allows you to enjoy your linebackers and your secondary.
That is
you need
that's
even
that's why you need a veteran guy as a 1 year rental type.
Even if
guy.
You're going to overpay in the short term,
sure.
You're going to improve your development long term for the other position groups that need you to rush the passer.
Get 7 sacks somewhere.
That's all I'm saying.
You're right. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Has Jalen Johnson, told you whether he'll be back next week?
He has not. So well, hopefully he'll be here. We know he'll be here probably for mandatory minicamp, hopefully next week, potentially. So we'll see.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is the voice of Matt Eberflus. He's talking about the starting corner, or will he be running with the number two, Jalen Johnson?
The threat looms.
He has yet to take part in the OTAs, although he's apparently doing it via Zoom.
Well, he's taking part in meetings via Zoom, whatever that is worth. He also is, following and expected to be here next week and all these other things. And it's a little bit more of a saga than it needs to be, but these things are the kind of things that people tend to worry about in the offseason.
And he is coming because he said he's coming. So he talked to the ESPN morning show. What is it? TJ, Jay Will and Max. He went on
ESPN this morning.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm going to be there for sure next week. I have a lot of things going on off the field. I have my daughter back home with me in Fresno, California, where I'm from. She resides, and I don't get a lot of time back home during the season. So for me, the offseason is time spent with her to make up that family time, and I'm a big family guy for sure.
He said, being a young dad, I want to be present in my daughter's life for sure, and I take a lot of pride in that. Also have a lot of things going on off field. Last year, I was the Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee for the Bears, and I continue to live that. That's who I am. Have a lot of events I'm doing in my community back there in Fresno, being part of the church, donating, trying to create fundraising for my nonprofit, different things to tend to with different businesses in Fresno.
That's good. He's got a lot of things going on. He's back home in California. And
have you ever been to Fresno?
Oh, yeah, I've been to Fresno. I played in the Fresno California Raisin Bowl.
Wow.
Back in the day.
I
spent a good week of my life in Fresno, California.
Do you still have the goodie bag that you
received? I have the goodie bag. I have the jacket. I have the watch that is right twice a day.
There you go. That's pretty good.
Oh, that was a fun week in Fresno, California. So I can relate to Jalen Johnson saying the Fresno was a good place to be. I enjoyed my time there. Look, every player on the field yesterday for the Bears, my sense is, has obligations, has family commitments, has things that, you know, they would maybe prefer to address rather than having to be on the football field. It's part of life. It's part of being an adult. He makes choices. It is voluntary, so we can respect that, and he'll be back when he's back.
It's interesting because his take on it is different than Flusie's.
Well, I think that you're right. And
it's not what Flusie said.
It's different from Flusie's. It's different from Alan Williams offering a no comment when asked if Jalen Johnson was there. The Bears are treating this more – they're giving this setting a tone that creates this sort of idea that they would like him here and he has chosen not to be here. And even though it is only voluntary and the Players Association discourages activity that is anything but required, I think that it's a choice that he's making. And he's defending this choice by saying he's committed to his family and his daughter and being a good father. And everyone can respect that. Who in the heck is going to object to somebody that wants to be a bigger part of their community? Just saying that there are 75 other guys who probably would like to be that good of a dad, that good of a family man or community member, and they're at work.
Well, apparently not, because they've chosen to show up.
Just saying. And the Bears, if they're on board with this, they're certainly making it odd.
Yeah. If they're on board with this, they're keeping it secret.
They're keeping that a pretty good secret, too. They're concealing their joy over and their pride in Jalen Johnson being a great family guy and community member. That's all.
Yeah. If you're looking for me, David, I will be at church.
From the 847, is he opening up a restaurant with Lance Briggs?
That's pretty funny.
All right.
Good memory.
We're going to bring in some baseball talk. We're going to get back to what we were discussing earlier, which is, I don't know which one you prefer, the horrific failure of the White Sox or the near success of the Cubs, the almost sweep
Is that the way you're going to couch
Tampa
it?
Rays.
Because you know
how
what?
Am I couching it?
I might frame it a different way.
How would you frame
it?
I
would frame yesterday was the day that both teams lost, and big picture wise, there's reason for huge concerns on both sides of town. And I'm not going Dustin in full overreaction mode.
Yeah.
He's trying to talk me off the ledge.
I know.
But Justin Steele going down concerns me. The White Sox losing another series confirms a lot of what we have been saying all season long.
Listen, Lance Lynn allowing the guys you fear will beat you to beat him like a drum. Yeah, exactly. You know, you want to talk about getting exasperated because someone made an error. I was exasperated by his pitching start, which apparently was an error. Just one giant error.
It was one giant mistake.
I'll be honest with you. That's the reason you don't go after teammates, because you're capable of that.
Thank you.
So we will we'll discuss our baseball teams next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Lynx. Oh, Lynx go out with everybody got to put in the same room.
Hold on. Who the is Lynx? Who the is Lynx?
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.